Okay, so our second Zoom shiur for Daf and Shavuot we're holding now Tan Rabbanan on Yud Ches Amud Beis, five lines up. We just the last part we had the whole steer between the Mishnayos, and at that point we were going through and discussing that maybe the difference was whether the person was washing for achila, or whether one was just washing for eating bread, or one was just washing for peros. And the last one we saw that it's a gasas ruach, said the Shulchan Aruch. It's an expression of being haughty, of being a show off, to wash on fruits. So Tana Rabbanan, Hanoita Yodav, when you're washing, Sinischavin Yodav Litaharos, if you had Kavana, Sin Yodav Tahoros. Loniskavin, if you didn't have Kavana when washing them, Yados Tameos, your hands are still Tame. One is Natila is when you're washing, but Matos when you're toful your hands in the Kli. Siniskavin Yodav Tahoros, Loniskavin Yodav Tameos. If you had Kavana, then it works. If you didn't have Kavana when immersing your hands, so then your hands are still Tame. So is that really true? Do you have to have Kavana when washing? So in Shulchan Aruch, Simen Kuf Nun Tes. So before this, actually, in Yud Aleph, it says Hakol Kashen Lite Mayim. It's talking about who's allowed to pour the water on them. And Yud Beis says if a kof, if a monkey would throw it on your hands, would that work? But look in Yud Gimel, Lichatchila says the Mechaber, the preferable thing to do, Yechavin Hanoita LeNatila Hamachsheres LaChila. That really one should have in mind when they're washing their hands. A very important kavana to have, especially this time of the year. Many are discussing the importance of having kavana when washing the tilas yadayim. That one should be washing a type that's going to be machshir, going to make their hands able to eat. Shekavana ukavanos nosei nami moil. The person who's pouring it, that would also have a feel lechatchila, feel shlo kivin hanoto klal. Even if the one who's washing didn't have in mind, what does this mean? So you think, okay, it sounds like it's a nice chumrah. But the Tosha Rebbe in the Sefer Avodah Zavodah quotes that the Magen Avraham, which is brought down here by the Mishnah Berurah, says this is ma'akev. A very powerful idea that if a person did not have kavana when they were washing their hands for this, then it's no good. You have to wash again. Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot Ayin Hey lechadchil yichavin haMagen Avraham kosel lifsol. It's possible af b'di'eved im lo kivnu klal. Ayin Sham, see, Mr. Magen Avraham is a heavyweight. He brings this down. However, not everybody is masking. Not everyone agrees this. And Mishnah points out about Hagra bekuf nun chesiv zayin hiskim kasoivrin delo debelo kavana kosher v'chein hudas rov harishonim. The majority of rishonim do not hold like this Magen Avraham, but it's on the books. Something to think about to have kavana when washing. Certainly, if you didn't, we could be lenient on this. If you don't have any water, enough water to wash a second time, we could be certainly lenient. That's something not necessarily on our minds when every time we're washing the Tilas Yadayim, but it's brought down the Shita of the Magen Avraham that Bedavka have this type of Kavana. So back to the Gemara. V'hatanan, I'm going to ask you a kasha. Bein is kavin, bein lo is kavin, yada tahoros. What are you telling me that you have to have kavana for? We have a brisa that says your hands are tor, even if you didn't have any kavana. So Omer of Nachman lo kasha. This isn't a difficulty. Kan lechulin. Now we go on the top of your test. Kan lemeiser. Right? One brisa is talking about meiser, which you need kavana. You need kavana for the meiser. Meiser sheni. So how do you know that for chulin you don't have to have the kavana ditnan? Because we learned in a Mishnah. This is in Mikvos Perak Hey. A fascinating case. Listen to this. Gal shenitlash ubar b'imsa. You have a wave, and there's like a storm happening, and this wave becomes separated from the rest of the ocean. It's a flying wave, and in this wave that became separated from the rest of the body of water, you have memsa. You have enough for a kosher mikvah. V'nafal al ha'adam, and this wave fell on top of a person. Val ha'kelim, and it falls onto your... I got a lot of tefilas kelim shilas today. It falls onto your brand new pesach dishes. You have to tovel them. It falls onto your kli. Tahorin. That works. Right? So it's tahor. So now, ketani adam dum l'kelim. So now, we're going to make a hekesh. We're going to compare adam to kelim. Uma kelim delo mechavni, and just like a kli does not have any kavana, to, right? Kelim don't have machshavas. Af adam delo mechavin. So too, since it works for the kli, must work for the adam. It does work for the adam. So too, just like I didn't need kavana by the kli, I don't need kavana by what? By the adam. And therefore, there's a gosh. So one says, 1 second, says the Gemara. Very, very interesting. You took the proof one way, but I'll flip it. I'm going to reverse directions, make in the opposite direction the comparison, come to the exact opposite conclusion. Umi Mai asks the Gemara, how do you know that's how to learn Pshat? Dilma b'yoshev mitzapel le'imasai yitolish hagal askinan. Maybe we're talking about not a person who's just sitting there waiting, but the guy is sitting, he's anticipating. He knows it's a storm. He sees these waves are separating, and he's sitting there waiting. He puts his kelim right there on the beach and says, I'm waiting for the wave to fall upon them. The kelim dum yod adam. And therefore, the kli is back the other way like adam. I mean, not that kelim was the Rebbe. The adam is the Rebbe, and we learn from adam onto kelim. Ma adam davar kavana. The bar kavana, I'm sorry, the bar kavana, of kelim, the mechavin lahu. So just like a person has to have kavana, right? That the kelim, it must be a case when the kelim became purified because you had kavana on them, right? So therefore, it's not pshat that you don't need to have kavana. It's the exact opposite. V'chiteima, if you're going to tell me that the Mishnah, the case, this Mishnah Mikvos is talking about b'yoshev v'mitzape, my lememra, right? What are you telling me? The guy's sitting. Mitzapi is anticipating what's the chiddush, right? You know, you don't have to tell me the obvious thing. Of course, that would work. So no, salkadaita chamina. Literally, you would think you'd have the following havamina. To think that no, it's not so poshit. Ligzor, I should make a gezera, right? That a wave, a gal shenitlash, a wave that became detached, wouldn't work to be metahir the adam kelim. Because you might come to Bitovel in a flowing rain water, right? Now that doesn't work. There's a halacha by mikvos that you can't have a mikvah that's zoichlin, that's flowing. It has to be settled. It's different between a mayan and a mikvah. But if you were to use this type of thing that's flowing, then that's a problem. That's why if it's a huge sugya in Hilchos Mikvos, if you have a crack in a mikveh, when does that pasul, when does it not? How high up is the crack? Is there enough of kosher water underneath the crack? Is it recognizable? The Achron discussed, if you're standing in the mikveh, can you tell that the water is actually moving out of it? Because in halacha, mikveh has to be all gathered. Kaveh hamayim means that the water is gathered. It's in a hole, it's in a pit. But by a mayin, a mayin can be zoichlin, could be moving. So over here, yeah? Question?
Isn't an ocean okay? Yeah. What about an ocean itself?
Okay, so the Gemara Nidorim talks about different bodies of water, and not all. That's a whole discussion about lakes and oceans, and whether it's man-made or not, or whether it's when the rainwater is more than the natural water. It's a big sugya. It's not so posh. We do assume that an ocean is why that is would be too far beyond the scope for now, but we do assume that is. But this idea that the Gemara is quoting of a chardless geshomim is rainwater that's flowing. So that would not work. So we're concerned. Let's just speak it outside, and I'll read it again. The concern over here is by this wave. Well, if the guy says the wave works, the wave's moving, so too I can go into rainwater that's flowing also. And that did not work. Rainwater would not work. So that's one reason why it's a chiddush to tell me this case of he's waiting for the thing. By the way, just agav, there are ways of telling it. Sometimes when people are vacationing in these, I don't know, we'll call them like, let's say tropical or but like, you know, in California, Wyoming, those are the natural parks, and they have lakes there. So there are ways to do testing. You can take the water to tell whether it's man-made or whether it's a natural. It's a little bit complex. You have to go to a laboratory, but we certainly could ascertain in certain things whether or not what the actual makeup, how the water got there in the first place. That can be, it's something that's able to be discerned. Okay, back to the Gemara says, Inami, right? Another halacha that we would know, again, besides the fact that the rainwater has to be ashbored in one place. Inami nigzer roshin atu kefin. So you have two parts of the edge. You have the rote, the head of it, and you have like the edge of it, right? So only if you're in the part that falls on you, but not in the airspace. So kamash malon lo gazrinan, that we don't make a gazera that you can't be if the rain would have fallen on you on that part. That but the chiddush is that a wave would work for the tara. Umino temra de lo matbilin mekefin. How do you know that you can't be tovel in the ark, that like high part that comes up? So Tatani is going in a braisa. Madbilin beroshin. You're allowed to tovel in like the edges of the water. Like if two edges of a wave are touching the ground, you could tovel in that, but you can't tovel in like the arc of it, right? Because in halach we view that arc as being like avir, like airspace. Right? Madbilin beroshin, ve'ein madbilin bekefin, not in the arc part of it. Lefish ein madbilin be'avir, because the halacha is that you can't tovel in air, and that air that's under the arc of the wave, that's what it is, because it'd be off here, right? The fact is you're surrounded by water on all sides, but that does not work for the tefillah. Okay, so now we're going to go back to talk about tefillah without kavan, if that works for chulin. Elameha. So really, the proof that you do not need to have kavanah for chulin is learned from the following. Detanan, it's a Mishnah in Machshirin. Peirush shenof letoich amas hamayim. You had, you know, actually, let me read a pasuk before we see this, just so you see this. Hopefully we'll be back in shul, our beloved shul for Parshas Shmini. But, and we'll have the privilege to hear in person, Perek Lamed, I'm sorry, no. Pasuk Lamed has a Perek Yodalef, 11:38. The pasuk says, V'chi yutan mayim al zera, v'nofo minivlosam olav, tomehu lachem. So the key point is, v'chi yutan. This is the idea that if something, a fruit or a food, would come in contact with water, one of the purifying substances, that it has to be something that you want there to be, you want it to be there willing, and that you're pleased with the result. The Mishnayos and Machshir are going through a big discussion about different types of water that falls in. Did I want it to fall on? Did I not want it? Am I happy with the result? Am I not happy with the result? So you have to want it to happen. That's really the background for this Mishnah Machshir. It's in Perek Dalad. It's on Pei Mishnofel L'toch Amas Amayim. So you had fruit that fell into like this little water channel. Uposhet Mishi Yadav Tameos V'notlan. And he took out someone whose hands were tamei. He put them in to get them. That his goal is just taking the fruits out of the water. Yodav tahoros. But from the fact that he put them in, he inserted them into the water. So that made his hands tahor. Uperos einem chiyuton, and the fruits don't belong to that category of chiyuton, because we only had to do something intentionally, but the fruit in this case, in this Mishnah is talking about, it fell in, right? And since you didn't intentionally make this fruit wet, it doesn't, it's not machshir for it to be mekabel tuma. Okay, so now the Mishnah says, ve'im b'shvil sheyudchu yodav, but if the guy put his hands into this water because he wanted to wash his hands, yod of tahoros, his hands are tahoros, they're pure, right? They're clean. Vahaperos, and now the fruit is in the category. They're in that category because you had intention. You wanted to wet your hands, right? And now the contact with the fruit, with the water, that makes it machshir, and it makes it hechshir too, until you can get it. So you see from the Mishnah that your hands, what, are taharos in either case. So at the end of the day, the raya is that you don't need any special kavana to make it happen. Se'es ve'rabba l'Rav Nachman. Rabba asked Akasha on Rav Nachman from the Mishnah. Hatovel l'chulin v'huchzak l'chulin. Right, as we learned, our Mishnah, if your tovel, and your mind was that you had kavanah for chulin, okay, so you have the status now for chulin, also lemaiser, but you're not allowed to eat the maiser, huchzak in, lo huchzak lo. So when you had kavanah, that, yes, that works, but if you didn't have the kavanah, then it doesn't. So that shows what? That shows that even for chulin, you have to have the right kavanahs in order to make it work. So Nachman says, no, hachi katani, this is pshat in the Mishnah. Even though you have a chazaka, you have a status for chulin. Nevertheless, also lemaiser, you're still going to be awesome for that. In other words, Mishnah's not telling us that you have to have kavana for eating chulin, right? No, it's teaching us that even if you had in mind, right, for chulin, then that works, but it's not good. It's not good enough for meiser. Is that true? So Eisvei Rabba says like this. I'll ask you a kasha from a different mission. So, no, I'm sorry, from the same mission. It's our mission. It's a different part of it. Tovav lohuchsuk. If you did tovel yourself, right, and you didn't have in mind when you were tovel yourself, ki'ilo tovel. It's as if you didn't even go to the mikvah at all. So my love, aren't you telling me a tish ki'ilo tovel klal? It means you never went to mikvah? So it says Rav Nachman lo ki'ilo tovel lemaiser. All it means, of course you toveled. It means you didn't tovel, says Rav Nachman, that you didn't tovel for meiser. Aval tovel lechulin. But it does work for chulin because, as Rav Nachman says, you don't have to have any kavana for that. Oh, okay. So more it says like this. Husaver dochi ka madchile. So he, meaning Rabba, thought that Rav Nachman was being madchile, was like, you know, was pushing him away, right? By refuting what he said, then meaning you can't necessarily be conclusive from the words of the Mishnah, right? But he didn't actually think the Mishnah should be understood differently. So Nafak, he went out, Dok v'ashkach, and he was like, you know, he examined and he found the following. He found a brisa, Detanya, Tovav lo huchsak, a person toivil, and he didn't have kavana for this to be muchsak. Also lemaiser umot lechulin. Ah, so they found exactly like what Rav Nachman said, that if you did tovel with this point, that according to Rav Nachman, that you don't need kavana for the vechulin, you only need it for meiser. And he found, Rabba found a brice that says exactly what Rav Nachman said. Okay. Om Rav Elazar. So now, continuing now this whole idea about being muchsak for Tahara. Tovel v'ola. If he toveled without any kavana particularly in mind, right? And then ola, he got up, he left the mikvah. Machzik atzmo l'chol mashiyirtze. He could take on himself whatever he wants. Meaning, there's no need to have, you know, a specific kavana in at the time when you're toveling the mikvah. This is a tremendous kula. That if you're still wet, literally the mikvah water is on, so then you can, it says like this, machzik atzmo l'chol mashiyirtze. So Mesu, 1 second, I'll ask you a kasha on that, right? The cases where the guy is tovel, now he's getting up out of the mikvah. But however, odehu raglo achas b'mayim. The guy, he's walking out, you know, they got the little steps, he's walking out of the mikvah, and he still has 1 foot in the mikvah water. Huchsok ledover kal, if he originally had kavana for a light thing, for a minor thing, machzik atzmo ledover chomer, he can still change his kavana, and he could be something more strict, a higher level, because he hasn't, again, the foot's still in the water, he hasn't left yet. All of, but once he came out of the mikvah, there's no longer, his foot is out of the water, shuvenu machzik. At that point, already he can't take on a new kavana for any other type of level. Samaila, what's the inference? Don't you see from here, einu machzik klal, that you can't, for anything, so that proves that you can only make up your kavanas while you're still in the water, but once you're out of the water, even if you're partially in, that's still good. Once you're out, lo, no, it's not a good thing. It's like this. Odehu, if the guy is still in the water, even though he had one kavana for that, that he can still be machzik, but now once he's left, im lo huchzak machzik. If he wants to, he could, right? Imul huchzak, but if he was muchzak, eino machzik. Once he had in mind, he could. So, in other words, the one foot's needed for the kavana when you have chulin, right? But if you leave that, then you can't change. But if you had zero kavana at that point, then if you're still wet, then it works, right? So because when you had kavana for something, that's like set once you leave. Excuse me. Once you left, but if you didn't have a kavana per se, so then now you're still wet. You could still, it's like you could pick. Samora says, 1 second. Mantana odehu ragla achas v'mayim. Who's the Tana who goes like this? Meaning, whose opinion are we following that says if you still have 1 foot in the water, that it's like you're still technically being in the mikvah? So Amar Rebbe Pedas, Rebbe Yehuda here. Pedas says this is the shita of Rebbe Yehuda. Did Tanakh be learned in a mikvah? Perik mikvos, perik zayin. Mikvah hanimnad v'yesh barbaim so mechavonos. You measure the mikvah, and you have exactly memsaw, exactly arbaim so. You have the it's not a drop more. That's it. You got the exact minimum requirement is in the mikvah. V'yardu shnayim b'tov l'zecher zeh. And now you have two people who go into this exact precise mikvah. Harishon tor v'sheni tameh. So according to Rabbi Yehuda. Well, let me just speak it out. According to the Mishnah, if the first guy goes in, so he toveled in a mikvah that was exactly memsah, so he's good. It works. The second guy is tameh, because by definition, the first guy took a little bit of water out of, on his body. He has a drop on his hair, on his shoulder, whatever it is. So now that water that needed to be in the mikvah is not there anymore. So the second guy is tameh. Om Rabbi Yehuda, listen to this. Im hayuraglav shorisha nogos b'mayim. If the first guy's foot is still in the water, half his body is out. 90% of his body is out. His ankle, his foot, his little pinky, his toe is still in the water. Afasheni tohar. Rabbi Yehuda argues. He says, no, the second guy is still in it. So what do you see from this? You see that according to Rabbi Yehuda, he holds that as long as you haven't fully exited out of the mikveh, then you're still considered to be in it. And therefore, that water, even though it's on the other guy's body, is still mitzarif to the shear. And therefore, the second guy is tohor. Okay. Om Rav Nachman Om Rav Baravua. He says that this machlokus between the Chachomim and Rabbi Yehuda, that's b'malus de Rabbanon. That's only when talking about when you have to tovel on a like chumras on a rabbinic level. Ava metuma letara. But we're talking about you're the really tummy and you have to come Torah like me on a deraisa level. Divra kol afasheni tummy. Everybody agrees that the second guy is tummy. There's only machlokus the way that. Who's learning that this only machlok is on a derabanan level, but we're talking about deraisa. So come on, the guy's out of the mikvah. We're not gonna make any coolers over here, right? V'hainu Rabbi Pedas, and that's pshat that Rabbi Pedas was talking about in this case, right? He's Rabbi Pedas, one who holds that only Rabbi Yehuda would hold that you could still change your chazaka, your kavana. When if you had one of your feet in the mikvah, so that's one way of learning it. Then the Gemara says, Ikadamri. Some learn it up a little bit differently. Omer Nachman, Omer Rabba Baravua, b'machlokes betuma l'tahara. No, really, the machlokes. The first way we were learning the machlokes was on a derabbanan level. The Ikada Amri learns that no, the machlokus is on a deraisa level. That's where the rabbanan, the chachamim, and Rabbi Yehuda are arguing. Avami the milos derabbanan. But we're only talking about on a rabbinic level. Divrei hakol afasheni tor. Then everybody agrees in that case that the second guy is going to be tar. Upligi debar pedas de Rabbi Pedas. And this is against now the what Rabbi the because Rabbi Pedas is only going according to Rabbi Yehuda. But within the Ikada Amri, the second way of learning it up, this is against Rabbi Pedas, because according to this version, everybody agrees that on the higher on the Drabon, right, that everyone agrees as long as he has 1 foot in, then that's good. Okay. So Omer Ula. Boy, my name is Rabbi Yochanan. I asked a question to Rabbi Yochanan. Le Rabbi Yehuda, within the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, Mahu lehatbil machotin vitzinorios v'roisha shel rishon. Okay, this is not something so common, but he asked, within the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, right, could you tova, like, we don't live in a world of tum and tara, so we don't think about these things, but like, you would have to take objects, forks, and needles and chairs, things that became tumah, you have to tovel them in a mikvah. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, who allows this, that the person is still considered to be technically in the mikvah, could I put like a needle on the top of the head of the first guy? Right? Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, he holds that if your foot's still in the water, you're still in the mikvah. So does that mean that his wet hair That's also kosher, and then that's like it's either like I put it in. So this takes a little bit to halachic concepts from Hilchos Sukkah. Gurachis isle Rebbe Yehuda, right? Gurasik leisle. So gurachis is when we lower it, right? So if you have something that's above, and we can see like it continues down, but gurasik meaning he doesn't hold from. So how do we view? Do we view the water on the guy's head is going down, or do we know that all the water that was still underneath it is still going up to him, right? Oh Dilma, oh no, maybe good asik nami isle, right? That he also holds in that in the mikvah water, like you know, good asik does go up, right? Which means that you could tovel something on top of the hair, top of the head of guy number one, right? So Amar Leih Tanisua. We learn this at Tosef de Mikvos. Cases like this. Shalosh Gomomios Benachal. You have three like little... Gumas like a little ditch or something like that. Right? And they're it's like... Imagine like... I would say like three things on a mountainside. Like going slanting down a mountain. So what's the case? Ha'elyona Hatachtona V'Hemtzais. You have the top, the bottom, and the middle one. Ha'elyona V'Hatachtona Shel Esrim... Esrim saw that the top, you have three, imagine like three pools of water all going on a diagonal slant. So the top one and the bottom one have 20 saw. The Emsois shall Arboim saw. And the middle one has 40. Okay, now continues the case. The Chardless shall Gesham Overes Benehem. And you have this rainwater that's like flowing in between them, so it's going along the ground. So it goes from the first one of 20, out exits that pool of water, goes into the second little ditch, which is 40 saw, and then goes down to the third one. So what's the din? Which ones are kosher for that? Because we know you have to be in a mikvah of 40 saw. That's the for on a derabbanan level, so we require that. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, so Meir Haya Omer, so he says Meir, meaning Rabbi Meir, holds Matbil Be'elyona. So you see, Remeir holds this concept of gudasik that we hold that you can raise up the walls, the partitions. They go higher, and that in fact works. And you see here, the Rebbe Yehuda is quoting. He calls him Meir, but Rebbe Meir, and he doesn't comment on it. So we see that he also holds from this, right? Vatanya ba, it says Ula Rebbe Yehuda Oimer. Turn to the it's a little bit. A little bit of a shorter daf, Omer, I should say, on Omer Beis. Mer Haya Omer, Remeir would say, Matbil Be'elyona. Remeir holds you could toivel in the top one. Vani Omer Betachtona Velo Be'elyona. I say in the lower one, but not the up one. So you see from this, Rebbe Yehuda doesn't hold from the idea of a good asik, right? So Omer Lei, so he said back, Rebbe Yochanan said back to, this is to Ula, Itanya. Tanya, if this is the Brisa, it's taught this way. Okay, that's how it's taught, and I'm not gonna argue with it. So it's clear that this is really a machlokis Tanoim, Rabbi Meir and Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda does not hold the concept of a good asik. Okay, let's see where we're up to. Hatovel lechulin v'huchzak lechulin. Okay, the Mishnah said if you toveled for if you toveled for chulin, right, then that works. So Mani Masnisin, who is the author of our Mishnah? The Rabbanan he. It's the Shita of the Rabbanan. The Shani Lahu Bein Chulin the Meisir. Because the Rabbanan are the ones that make a chiluk between, what? Between Meisir and Chulin, right? So if, on a Rabbanan level, we you have to tovel right for the chulin, so that's good. But if you came thing with meiser, then that's going to be a problem. Say aim a seifa. Let's look to the seifa. Big de am haaretz midras leprushin. If you have the clothing of an am haaretz, then not an am haaretz is someone. It does not mean in this context someone who's a talmid chacham knows how to learn very well. Am haaretz means someone who is not careful with tumantara, right? So in this case, it's considered to be midras, something that was trampled upon, like by a zav, for the prushim, the people who are very careful, because they eat even chulin in a state of tara. Big day prushim, the clothing of the prushim, they're careful to remain tohar. but they are considered medres la'ochle truma. They're still going to be like a medres, like of a zav for the kohanim. Those don't, ochle truma means kohanim. So you see that the seifa is different from the rabban, different than the what's it called, than the reisha. There's a Rambam over here. Let me just read you a Rambam. I'm here in reading from in Avos Atumos, Perek Yud Gimel, the first halacha. The Rambam brings down our Mishnah. It says like this: Chamesh Malos Osu Chachamim Bebegadim. There are five levels that the Chachamim made. The Elohein Big Day Am Haaretz Medrash La'Ochle Chulehen B'Tahara. V'chein Ame Haaretz Atzmo Kizavin L'Taharos Kmo Shibarnu. Next, Big Day Ochle Chulehen B'Tahara Kmit Midras La'Ochle Meiser Sheni. Avol Ochle Chulehen B'Tahara V'chein Hanikroim Prushim Einim Kizavim Afilu L'Truma Harezek Vesh Tohor Afilu Im Noga Bo B'Gufo. Big day oichli meiser sheni medras the oichli truma. It's just going down level by level. Big day oichli truma medras the kodesh. Aval oichli truma atzman ein kizavin the kodesh. Big day oichli kodesh medras the chatos. That's the highest level. That's the mechaz the paraduma kimoshiv arnu behilchos paraduma. Aval hatohor the kodesh ein kizav the chatos. Okay, that's a little more than we're up to now. That's the Rambam on this gemara. But let me just finish up we have a few more minutes till our next Marv. Okay. Awesome Rabbi Meir. We understand the Shita of Rabbi Meir, the Omer who holds, he says, Chulin and Meiser kehadade ninhu. That really Chulin and Meiser are similar because you see that there's no distinction made in the Mishnah. Reisha Rabbanon, according to that, the Reisha be the Rabbanon, the Sefer Rabbi Meir? Is that really true that the reish, the first part of the Mishnah would be Rabban and the last part is Rabbi Meir? What says? Yeah, in doesn't happen so often, but you're right. That's true. That's how it is. Reish Rabban and Besefer Rabbi Meir, because it's unusual, but that's how we have to come on to in this case. Rav Acha Bar Ada Masni Le Besefer Chamesh Milos. Rav Acha Bar Ada said that the five levels. That's what we just read out from the Ram on the five different levels. That goes. On a drabanan umuki la kule kirabanan. He says the whole thing is going on. He adds the level of the meiser, and the entire mishnah is going like the shita of the rabanan. You know, so the question is like this: we're two lines from the bottom. If we go on to, it's really there's not a good stopping point until we get pretty far down onto daf chaf. Maybe we'll see, because we'll hold off for this year right here, and then we'll pick it up in Mirtz Hashem on the next year, to be determined. We'll send out when the next one's going to be. But we'll pick it up here, two lines from the bottom on Yud Tes Amid Beis with Omer of Mari. Okay, does that work for everybody?